Frank Norton grew up fascinated by all things to do with shipping. He was the son of a seafarer, and he started drawing ships when he was just a boy. And it's a talent that eventually took Frank to art school in Sydney and on to become the first official war artist for the Australian Navy. Now, after the war, Frank Norton was the director of the Art Gallery of Western Australia. He held that post for 18 years, and he significantly built up its collection during that time. He even found the gallery a new home, and he died in 1983. Well, a retrospective of his work is now on display at the Fremantle Arts Centre. Here's Claire Nichols talking to the curator, Andre Lipscomb.
Andre, can you start by telling me a bit about the man that was Frank Norton? In your introduction to your book on him, you describe him as conscientious and straight-laced.
That's right. Through the range of conversations with colleagues, family members, exhibitors and so on, and some of his journals and letters I've been able to read and get to research and to locate, I get a sense that he was a very honest man that... from fairly humble beginnings, but not poor background, that he was very earnest in his studies. I mean, he was brought up having regular contact with the church. He was brought up in a teetotaler family, I understand. Very few vices. To take on the role he did, both as a war artist and at the gallery, which he had to change his views of the world. He had to be flexible and work with all people from walks of life. And he seemed to have done that with a great aplomb and honesty, including cultivating relationships with media and so on, and mixing it with all sorts of people, wealthy and otherwise.
Andre, Frank Norton grew up in an artistic family. Was he always destined to be an artist?
Yeah, probably. His father's an interesting character, essentially a serviceman in the Royal Navy who had a penchant for developing journals, writing maps and anecdotes about his seafaring experiences from around the globe, to find himself in New Zealand and where Frank was born. Frank was brought up really with the evidence of art making around the home, and his father was an active and published his material and worked for Pix magazine and so on. So, you know, he was probably quite savvy and commercially motivated, but Frank would have been brought up in that context, and he was certainly drawing ships and maritime subjects from a very young age. We've got a good example in the show of a drawing that he produced when he was five of a ship, and that kind of energy and that interest in maritime and seafaring and so on was carried through as a 15-year-old into his Sydney Technical College.
So how did Frank Norton come to be a war artist with the Royal Australian Navy?
He returned from the UK in 1940 with some knowledge of Australian war artists, particularly Fred Least and Ellis Silas, who was based in the UK. When he was there for about 12 months or so, he met Ellis. So this was at the time when war had broken out in Europe, and he managed to get back to Fremantle in 1940. And I think he had it in his mind that he wanted to participate in the war effort and contribute in the best way that he saw fit. So he initiated and put his hand up for taking on that role. And he was appointed quite quickly. So within 12 months, he was on a ship heading to the west and then heading from the west to the Mediterranean. He was on various vessels right through that 18 months and witnessed, particularly to Brooke, you know, a lot of close fighting. Ships that he served on were bombed. He managed to avoid have his ship sunk under him. So he witnessed, particularly at Tobruk, a lot of devastation and an Australian force under greater pressure at that particular base. His subject matter tended to focus on the mechanics and the furniture of war and the instruments of war, the ships and so on, but also the men that were, you know, busily trying to find time to sleep and clean their weapons, have R&R and so on, and have time out from the fronts or from the action. So most of his practice was centered on that sort of activity. And the collection that's with the Australian War Memorial doesn't include the heroic images of various theatres or various wars or so on. It was just largely the incidental, the sort of everyday slice of life kind of activities of servicemen and the sort of things that they endured, the hardships, the lack of food, the cold and so on and so on, the wounds and what have you. And that, I think that's indicative of his attitude to his experience in the conflict. You know, he was there as a witness. He was there to document the every man's experience. And that's kind of, for my mind at least, is indicative of the attitude of the man. There was certainly more than one occasion that War Memorial was indicating to him that they'd like to see a certain sort of picture delivered. And Frank was sending back regular groups of oil studies and drawings from the front and from various sites of where he was stationed. But they didn't include the typical heroic images that the War Memorial was always looking for to sell, or to sell that picture of the war and the heroism. And he was reminded more than one occasion he should get on with those sorts of pictures.
I was interested to read about an exhibition of the war artists that happened in Australia while the war was on, which included some of Frank Norton's work. And that was criticised for the very reasons that you're talking about, that it was a lot of the day-to-day experience as opposed to the heroics. I think it was an Adelaide newspaper that said, "It looks like the artists are not changed by their experiences." Mm-hmm. Did Frank Norton have an emotional reaction to the war? And do you see that in his work?
Look, there's not a lot of drama and emotion in his work. I wouldn't call it detachment, but I'd call it focus and a sort of intensive observation. And that space for an artist where you're drawing directly from life is a particular sort of psychological realm for the artist to engage with. And he's relying on keen observation, sitting quietly and focused attention to detail, and learning and reading the landscapes and the people and the things that are going on around him. But yeah, I mean, Frank, was he changed by these experiences? Certainly was, as a person. But his work is more about getting on with the job at hand.
Frank Norton came to Perth in 1958 to run the Art Gallery of Western Australia. What kind of cultural scene did he walk into in Perth?
It's been well documented that Perth had a particular perspective on the world and the art world. And certainly it's quite clear that Perth had very few commercial art outlets in terms of commercial galleries. The galleries was a relatively small institution compared with other institutions in the eastern states, under-resourced, had a very really modest collection of pictures and so on. And within the relationships between the museum and the library board, which was one body, the gallery had a relatively diminutive role within that group of institutions. So when Frank arrived in 1958, the gallery was at this point of considerable change and shift. So there were some real challenges in front of him as an administrator to take the gallery into a new, fairly autonomous direction. But when Frank came to Perth to take up his role at the gallery, he already had a significant commission to undertake for the War Memorial, a large studio picture. And when he obviously agreed to the terms of the appointment, he negotiated directly with the board that there'd be a provision to have a studio at the gallery. And that sets Frank apart from any other gallery director in Australia to develop in tandem the two roles of the practicing painter and the gallery administrator in the same precinct. And that's a challenging balance for Frank to negotiate.
Can you describe this for me? Because my understanding is in his office he had an area sectioned off where he would paint. Was he doing this after hours, on top of a full-time job running a gallery?
Well, it appears, and the evidence suggests that he was meticulously managing his time and his responsibilities at the gallery and obligations, and that he would paint after hours. He would use time after work, particularly when the light was good. Something was talking about summertime, but he was able to manage that office space, office/studio environment for 18 years. For the whole entire duration of his appointment, that's from 1958 to 1976.
How incredible. One of the things Frank Norton was involved in his time at the gallery was the planning of the new art gallery that we have today. And I was really surprised to discover the idea of a cultural centre in Perth, which is probably my favourite place in Perth today. Can you tell us a bit about those plans he had?
Yeah, well, he was an amazing character. He was able to and interested to develop his own plan. So on his off his own bat, he'd developed a number of models for a new gallery. He travelled obviously overseas and became enamoured with this notion of a cultural centre, something that he borrowed from his trips overseas. Particularly, he was focused on developing a brand new building to solve a lot of the gallery's problems and as a means of developing the sort of exhibition programmes that the gallery wanted to undertake, and eventually, the amount of doors he must have banged on and the sort of arguments and support and the effort of the board to work very closely with state government to try to develop new funds and so on. Frank played an important role in pushing that ahead for a number of years, right through the late 60s, really, until 1979 when the new building opened.
How do you reflect on the legacy of Frank Norton today?
Well, Frank had a very important role at a very important time within the State Gallery at that time, so 1958 to 76, at a critical time when the gallery was growing, the state was growing very quickly, things were changing in Perth and Western Australia. He was the right man for the job at the right time, and he brought the kind of range of skills in terms of the people skills as well as the ability to recognise that he had to change in the role that he had, and helped to define key aspects of the state collection and at a very critical time. And I think that legacy, in particular for West Australian people and audiences, was quite a milestone, quite an achievement.
That's Andre Lipscomb, the curator of the exhibition Frank Norton, Painter and Collector. And Andre was talking there to Claire Nichols. And you can catch that exhibition at the Fremantle Arts Centre, Fremantle being near Perth in Western Australia, and it's on there until the 22nd of January. So something to do over the Christmas holes if you happen to be in that neck of the woods.